Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking King George Supervisors this morning, or King George County this morning, with Supervisor Ruby Brabo is here. Ruby, it's good to have you back this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
The couple of things, and we're going to talk about a number of things this morning dealing with King George, but I will say, you get around, whether it's in King George County or just getting King George out in the community and statewide, good for you. I mean, you are one of the more traveling local officials who really is looking out for her county.
Well, thank you. I certainly do appreciate that. I think it's important for folks to understand about King George, but I also think it's important that we have those connections with other communities so that we can benefit from lessons learned and maybe collaborate on different projects.
You, speaking of getting out and talking to the community, you have a town hall meeting.
Yes,
tonight.
I do. I sure do. At 7 p.m. at the University of Mary Washington Dahlgren campus. We will have as guest speakers the general manager for the Service Authority, Mr. Jonathan Weekly, and the chairman of the Service Authority Board of Directors, Mr. Mike Bennett. And I will be addressing folks and informing them what's been going on with the comprehensive plan update and giving folks an opportunity to just have a general forum and ask questions. At a board of supervisor meeting, you simply get a 3-minute public comment. There's
right.
No back and forth, no ability to ask questions or have a discussion, so the town hall meeting affords that ability to do so.
That is, and having a board meeting or having a town hall meeting is really an opportunity that people should jump onto, especially if there are issues out there, because there really is a lot of chance to just dialogue one-on-one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great opportunity for citizens to hear from each other, to see if they have similar concerns or similar ideas or feedback. And it's truly an opportunity for us to better help them understand our processes, why decisions were made. And for me, the feedback from the citizens is the most important. You know, I tell people all the time that I make the best decision I can based upon the information I'm provided.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's not for me to make my personal decision. It's for me to make a decision on how the citizens want to be represented.
Well, I'm sure you feel better when you do have those tough decisions, when you have gotten a lot of feedback. It's,
yes.
I'm sure it's got to be frustrating at times when you don't hear anything and nobody comes out. And then after a decision is made, everybody's, hey, wait a minute.
Yes, my colleagues and I actually just recently talked about that, how it can be very frustrating to us that we feel like we've made the best decision because we didn't hear from anyone.
Yeah.
And then afterwards we get beat up, you know, just because people weren't happy. And we thought, wow, if we would have known, maybe the decision would have been different.
Well, and you have utilized over the years social media as mm-hmm. as things go on to let people know much more than I see many other that's going on in many other localities. So if when people say, well, we didn't know, there are ways to find out, and you especially have gotten that word out.
I do try very hard between my social media, my electronic newsletter, my town hall meetings. I try very hard to keep people informed, but you'd be amazed how many people still say they had no idea.
Oh, it does.
You know?
Yeah.
Even, you know, one of the things I campaigned on was creating a new county website. And, you know, with my new colleagues, we were able to accomplish that. And even with just more information being available and the website itself being more easily to navigate, still folks will say I had no idea. But to me, it's important that citizens have the information and they have the opportunity to provide feedback.
Before we get out of here this morning, I'll have you give all the addresses of where people can latch on to some of your things on social media. You mentioned a few minutes ago about the comprehensive plan. That's a big deal in any locality, and King George is dealing with it right now.
Yes. So state law requires that it be updated every 6 years. The comprehensive plan is the vision for the next 6 years of how the county will be developed. That's why it's really important for citizens right now as we are working through updating it to get engaged and be involved. The supervisors had their final work session last night, so we will be advertising for the public hearing at the Planning Commission, which will take place on September 10th at 7 p.m. We've made some adjustments to the primary settlement area boundaries in Dahlgren. Primary settlement area, when an area is designated as that, it sends a message to developers that you are willing to rezone or increase density. So we made some amendments to the boundaries there. But the other thing, too, is folks complain a lot about truck traffic on Dahlgren Road. Dahlgren Road is designated as a primary road, so you cannot restrict truck traffic.
Yeah.
You know, this is the opportunity. If folks want to see changes like that, they need to come out. And so that's part of the conversation tonight at my town hall meeting, is to talk about what the final draft looks like and give citizens an opportunity to provide any input.
Well, this is I mean, all comprehensive plans are important, but especially with just the way growth is and so many changes starting to take place in King George, this is a really, really, really important rewrite of the comprehensive plan.
Sure. Again, this is the vision for development in the county for the next 6 years. And you think about what's going to happen in the next 6 years. The new bridge is going to be built and will open. And the landscape of King George County is going to change. It's inevitable. And we need to ensure that we have the appropriate infrastructure in place and that we're able to manage our growth appropriately. And so for me, we've had only a handful of citizens even show up at our work sessions as we've worked through this. We've only had one or two provide any comments at all. So it's very important that citizens come out and let us know how do they want King George County to be developed over the next 6 years.
I remember it was one of the first times that you came in here and we did a show and we talked about growth, and you had seen, and you at one time, I remember talking about having lived in Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Seeing what's happened in this area with growth, and
yes.
I remember you were very firm on, you know, we need to be careful in King George.
Yes,
and we're really at that point now.
We truly are. Yeah, you referenced my 7 years that I lived in Stafford County. When I moved here in 1996, there was one traffic light on Garrisonville Road in front of the Walmart. And 7 years later, it was taking me 40 minutes to go 2 miles down that road. And I just think we could do a better job planning. We definitely want growth. We definitely want economic development. We understand we need it, not only for the quality of life of our citizens, but for the county revenues. But if it's not managed appropriately, we will simply recreate the traffic congestion that exists over here that so many people move to King George to get away from.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Because anybody would rather take that commute going King George. Well, whenever you see that something's in King George or in Dahlgren, you don't mind it nearly as much because you're not dealing with the traffic that we have in this area.
Correct. Yes. So hopefully we will be able to better manage our growth going forward.
And I hadn't, Ruby, even thought about it, but yeah, with the nice bridge and everything, that is going to be a game changer for King George.
It sure is. And, you know, we've already seen an increase in the traffic on 301 since VDOT started advertising it as an alternate to 95 because of all the construction projects they had over the summer. So I can only imagine once people realize they no longer have to cross a bridge that was built in 1938, how many more, especially the semi-trucks, how many more will choose to come 301 versus 95?
Yeah. Well, and you talk about growth, and I notice it just little ways of how it takes a little longer to go, say, from Stafford to Dahlgren. It takes a little bit longer, and you're starting to see more subdivisions come up, and there's more traffic. So this really is for people that care. You want to get involved with the comprehensive plan because this is your chance to let the board know.
Yes, and a lot of times people don't understand. Commercial development adds to a county revenue, but residential costs the county money in mandated services, and the real estate taxes per house do not cover all of those costs for the mandated services, such as schools, social services, emergency services, and things of that nature. So every new subdivision that is built generally means I have to raise your taxes unless I have commercial development to offset the cost of those mandated services. So, you know, it's not that we, again, we're not anti-growth, but we recognize we need to manage it appropriately, or not only will we be facing the traffic congestion, but we will be facing, we won't have a choice but to continue to increase taxes. So we're trying to, you know, through our economic development strategic plan that we just created and implemented, we're hoping that we will be able to attract those commercial and industrial entities that will offset the cost of the residential.
The fact that you don't have a Route 3 in like Spotsylvania has in King George is a big plus for King George. King George At-Large Supervisor Ruby Brabo here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Much more to discuss.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
King George At-Large Supervisor Ruby Brabo with us this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. As we talk, you've been a supervisor for 8 years now, Ruby?
Yes, that's correct. My first 4 years, I represented the Dahlgren District.
That's right.
And this last 4 years, I've served as the at-large.
I remember when I first met you, and we did our very first show a few years ago, and you came in, and I remember you talking about that when you became supervisor, this was your job.
That's correct.
And that you put everything aside and you did that. And I see that. I mean, I wish there were more like you out there, because there are a lot of issues.
There are a lot of issues, and there are a lot of citizens who need help. It is truly, I don't understand how you can do this job well if you don't do it full time. But I recognize that the Commonwealth doesn't pay us to do it full time, and folks still need to provide for their families. I am fortunate that I can do this full time. I've done it full time the whole 8 years. But the overwhelming volume of emails and phone calls that I receive, I truly can't keep up with. So I apologize to anyone out there that I have not replied to yet. Trust me, I'm doing the best I can.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, that, we look at just when you go to the meetings, or you go around and represent the county in various things. But first and foremost, you know, you're representing, especially as an at-large supervisor, you're representing King George County, and people have issues that they are, or things that they want to, you know, that they want you to look at.
Sure. Yes. I mean, there's always challenges, and especially in a county like ours that is on the cusp of growing, exploding. And we have so many infrastructure needs, antiquated, the water sewer system and things of that nature. So many things had been kicked down the road for so long that should have been addressed or maintained properly a long time ago. Yeah, it is truly a full-time job. And I'm thankful that I'm able to do it. I have a true passion to serve the community. I like finding solutions. I like connecting people. Through my conferences, I have, you know, met so many different people. And, you know, I'll put them in my contacts, and I, at the moment, may not recognize why I may ever need to, you know, connect with them again. But then something will come up down the road, maybe even a year later, where I'm like, oh, hey, I know somebody. And, you know, able to either provide that contact to someone else or use it for, you know, my own gain in the county to be able to solve a problem.
We've done a couple of shows of where you've had made contacts with state officials, and they've joined us by phone and talked about different things. You've been a great resource, and I'm sure you're able to do that for citizens who have issues.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Being able to bring back information, connect people together. I bring back a lot of different grant information. I've provided conference information to folks. One example would be Michelle Wido with KGI Communications. I came back and provided her information for a conference as they were starting up their WISP provider service, and she went to the conference and then learned about the state VADI grant, and she came back and she's just been thrilled and been able to apply for that and work with the county to lease our assets and things of that nature in order to better provide internet service to our community.
Well, it's you're an interesting you've been interesting, and it's been fun watching you do these things, because in some localities there's always talk of, we don't need to be part of these statewide organizations, or why would we need to go there. You've gone there and you've really made it a kind of a part of your job, and you're working for King George when you go to these things.
Yes, I'm working for King George, but I also like to think in some aspects I'm working for the region. An example of that would be when the EPA wanted to set local targets for those of us in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. And let me explain to you, currently the EPA sets targets by state. So the five states and the city of D.C. are assigned a target by EPA. And then here in the Commonwealth, we work collectively with the state, all the counties and cities and towns, to meet that goal. And Virginia has met or exceeded its goal every single year. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the EPA decided they wanted to set specific targets by city, town, and county that would be into perpetuity and basically mean no future growth for you. And I was able to bring that information back from a meeting and get everyone on board so that we could fight that. And we've been very successful in keeping the EPA from doing that. But I've been able to bring back grant information, the FEMA pre-mitigation grant. Brought that information back from a conference. The county applied for it. We received $2 million to address the shoreline erosion at Fairview Beach.
No, those are the kind of things that if you're not out there and learning about them, sometimes that kind of money and that kind of information, mm-hmm, doesn't get implemented or used, or it's taken by somebody else.
Yes, I've been very fortunate the last 4 years. The colleagues that have served with me on the board have unanimously appointed me as the representative for King George County on the Board of Supervisors to attend the Virginia Association of Counties and the National Association of Counties conferences in order to bring the information back. They see the value and they understand the value, and King George has certainly benefited from it.
Well, I'll say, because King George, just being a smaller and in a rural county, sometimes those kind of localities get kind of forgotten. Mm-hmm. But you're kind of the voice for King George and the Northern Neck.
Yes, and through those connections, I've been able to meet and attend other meetings that I normally would not have been privy to. One of those was a meeting at the FCC headquarters in March, I was speaking on behalf of the KGI Communications while I was there. They had won the FCC auction for the white space in King George County, and it had been almost 9 months, and they still had not been awarded the right to use that space. And turns out what I learned while I was there is the FCC has teams of people who help the big providers, Verizon and Sprint and AT&T. They have one person in that entire headquarters that will help small rural internet providers, WISP providers, and so that is why it was taking so long. And of course, I made it my business to let them know that was unacceptable, and I then contacted Congressman Whitman to let him know what was happening so he could let them know that was unacceptable. How do you do that, especially in rural counties, when the large providers are not willing to expand the infrastructure, and we're relying heavily on those smaller providers to make that infrastructure need addressed in our communities. You can't have the FCC only having one person out of their entire headquarters that is willing to work with them.
No, and for an issue like that that's important to King George,
yes,
you can't be just sitting and, waiting and waiting and waiting.
Yes, exactly.
Congressman Whitman has, and we've talked about it with him on this show, has talked a lot about just the whole broadband and in rural areas and how important that is. And Stafford and Spotsylvania are dealing with it. I know, I'm sure King George also had, you've got, I'm sure, pockets and areas of concern in the county.
Yes, we do. We have areas where folks, unfortunately, they not only don't have very good cell service, but their only option seems to be HughesNet satellite, which is extremely costly. So Congressman Whitman actually recently has asked Michelle Wido to serve on his broadband task force. So we're glad that he has included King George County and allows her a seat at the table to help him understand the challenges they are facing.
Well, and that's just, I guess, one of the things that you've been able to help King George with is having a seat at the table, and you've been at some at some pretty important tables too, being able to because of what you've been able to accomplish.
Yes, I'm very thankful for the opportunities that I've been afforded. One of which, most recently, is President Trump, by executive order, appointed me to his task force to address veteran suicide. Not only are we looking at creating a roadmap to help address that, but we're hoping that ultimately the roadmap will help to address suicide in general.
What an important topic that is. And you talk about something that's important not only to your county, but for the region and for the state.
Yes, it sure is. 22 veterans a day take their life. Unfortunately, 4 to 6 of those typically have not even been touched by veteran services. And how do we address that? And so one of the correlations that I have made while serving on the task force is the fact that we've seen a tremendous increase in farmer suicides over the last few years. And how many of those farmers are actually veterans? And where are farmers generally located in rural areas? Where what? There's no veteran services available to them. So one of the conversations that I had with Secretary Hopkins, who is our Secretary of Veterans Affairs here in the Commonwealth, was the fact that there's no veteran service offices located in the rural areas. He pulled out his map, and yes, we have 35 offices across the Commonwealth, but when you look at the Northern Neck, the closest office is Fredericksburg. What do you do if you live in Northumberland County and you are a disabled veteran? How do you get to Fredericksburg to receive those services? And so these are the challenges that we're facing. And so one of the conversations, actually Delegate Bob Thomas and I met with Secretary Hopkins together, is how can we take someone from that veteran services office here in Fredericksburg and maybe once a month have them work out of the county administration building in these different counties throughout the Northern Neck so that the veterans don't have to get all the way to Fredericksburg, but they could just find a way to get to the county building in order to receive some form of services.
Now, you talk about, when you were saying that, I was thinking, unless maybe there is something, but you answered that there's not. It's an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours from some parts of the Northern Neck.
Yes.
Into Fredericksburg.
Yes, exactly. And so, so those are the types of conversations we're having as we're trying to look for solutions.
Well, again, it's good to have a voice speaking up for the because you really do. You really are the voice, not only for King George, but much of the Northern Neck that relies on that. I guess, and that's where you going and being part of a lot of these commissions and meetings is really beneficial, not only to you, but for your constituents and for, like you said, for the region.
Yes. It's been kind of interesting, and I have to laugh sometimes to hear a number of people say that the only reason I'm doing this is as a stepping stone for, higher office. But the reality is, I'm not looking or seeking higher office. This is truly a passion for serving my community of King George County. I moved there almost 15 years ago, and that is my home now. And anything I can do to improve the quality of life there not only benefits the citizens, but it benefits me as well. Like you said, I know better than anybody. If we don't have a seat at the table, then we can't make a change. We can't contribute, and we can't be part of the solution.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. King George Supervisor, At-Large Supervisor, Ruby Brabo here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFEA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFEA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions. We've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
King George Supervisor Ruby Brabo here this morning as we talk about things with King George. We were talking a little bit about Chesapeake Bay and I know that the Chesapeake Bay Act is important for King George. It's important for it's important statewide, but you really have a stake in this.
So I'm fortunate. Governor McAuliffe and Governor Northam have both appointed me to the Local Government Advisory Committee for the Chesapeake Bay Watershed. I've really enjoyed serving on that. We advised the five governors and the mayor of D.C. But part of the Chesapeake Bay Watershed Act has a requirement that all of the counties in the state had to draft a Watershed Implementation Plan number 3.
So we're at 3 now.
We're at 3 now. And this is to help us achieve our goals between now and 2025. And, you know, citizens wonder why they need to care or why they need to be engaged. Why do other local elected officials need to care? You know, if I can back up for a minute, as a local elected official, we're not an expert at anything. We have to be a jack of all trades.
Boy, so, isn't that the case? You can go from topic to topic, and in the course of a meeting, you can have 7 or 8 really diverse things you're talking about.
Right. So unless you're someone like me who is serving on that advisory committee, you're not going to have, as a local elected official, the depth, the knowledge, the understanding, because you're going to rely on your staff to help you with that. And so right now, DEQ, under the Commonwealth's Watershed Implementation Plan draft that is out there, they are actually putting more stringent requirements than even EPA is requiring of us. And that should be very concerning to everyone. This is more specifically in the wastewater treatment sector. EPA's comments, which I read last night, actually talk about the fact that this basically limits growth in the wastewater treatment sector, which translates into no more growth economically. And for a rural county like King George, no more economic development growth is a death sentence. So folks really need to be paying attention. Getting their local elected officials involved. In my opinion, DEQ should definitely never be putting more stringent requirements upon a locality than even EPA is requiring.
Why would they do that?
Well, we all want clean water.
Yeah.
And they want to ensure that we actually achieve the goals that are set out for the Commonwealth. But I think there needs to be a little bit of common sense that comes into play here. Reality is there is no way any local government would be able to afford the types of upgrades that they would be requiring on these wastewater treatment plants. And for a rural county like King George, where our systems are already so antiquated, and we have 5 different independent wastewater treatment plants, there's just no way.
How does this play out? Does the General Assembly have a say in this, or is this one of those bureaucratic kind of things where the you know, orders just come down from somewhere?
I think we're very fortunate that Secretary Ann Jennings, who is the Deputy Secretary of Natural Resources, and a former I don't know if her title was president or executive director of the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. She has worked very well with local governments.
Okay.
She has taken our feedback. My understanding is they have received thousands of comments back from folks that she has been reading through. So they are at least listening, which is why it is very important that folks take this opportunity. And when I say folks, I'm referring to the local elected officials. They're the ones that need to be engaged. They're the ones that need to be at the table, having this conversation, providing the feedback, helping them to understand why this is not a good thing for our counties.
Well, and we talk about it being important to King George. This is important to all areas.
Absolutely. You know, over half of the Commonwealth is covered by the Chesapeake Bay Watershed Act, so this would impact a number of localities.
So this should be something that you may want to talk to your local Board of Supervisors or City Council, things like that, or you know, at least feel them out on what they know. And because you're right, this is the kind of thing that you don't pay attention to.
Right.
All of a sudden, something comes down
and
rules change, and you're like, well, when did that happen?
Right. The last thing you want to do is it's after the fact, after it's already been implemented, and now you have to comply. You want to be able to be proactive and get ahead of the game and help them. You know, a lot of times ideas are created in a think tank, and they sound good. They look good on paper. But unless you are the boots on the ground, which is what the local supervisors are, we're the ones that understand the costs, the impacts, and whether or not it's real, even achievable.
there has been the census. We're starting to hear now more. We're mm-hmm. coming up to a census year, and we're hearing more and more about that. And that's something that's really important. I know that the need to get an accurate count is life and death sometimes. When you talk about localities and how tight money is, and with the way budgets go, this isn't anything to just casually
Correct.
Think about.
Right. And there's $675 billion federal dollars that are tied to the census that is allocated to states and then allocated to localities based upon the information collected from the census. So the 2020 census, we have formed complete count committees. We have one in King George County. The George Washington Regional Planning District has actually formed one as well. I know a number of other localities in our region have. But every citizen that is not counted is equal to $2,000 per year. That's $20,000 over the course of 10 years that your county will have lost. And the most undercounted folks historically have been children under the age of 4 and adults over the age of 65. So it is imperative that folks respond to the census to ensure that the localities receive those federal dollars. If you have a child who is age 4 who is not counted, over the course of those 10 years, they would have been in school. You would have lost that $2,000 in funding that could have potentially helped pay for necessary things within the school system.
Boy, that is a serious thing. When you think about that, you don't want to miss anybody.
Correct.
And you just think of a subdivision.
Correct. Yes. And in King George County, we formed our complete count committee. Each supervisor can appoint a citizen to the committee. Thus far, I believe only Mr. Bush, the James Monroe District, has actually appointed someone. The rest of us are still looking for volunteer citizens to serve on the complete count committee. So if you are interested, please contact myself or your district supervisor.
Wow, census time is fast approaching, mm-hmm. and it only takes a few minutes to fill it out. But
yes.
Boy, for wherever you live,
yes.
not doing it.
But there are some challenges this year that didn't exist previously. So this year, the census folks in their infinite wisdom have decided they want to do a majority of the collection online. Well, that works in an urban area. But if you're in a rural
yeah.
area and you don't have internet access, and not only that, they will not mail their mailing card that
yeah.
gives you your online instructions. They will not mail it to P.O. boxes. And again, in a rural area, a lot of folks only
yeah.
have a P.O. box. So these are some of the challenges that we face. And that's why having citizen engagement to help us ensure we have a complete count is important.
Well, and that goes back to, we talk about social media, or we talk about all to the technology and how great things are, but not realizing there are even around here, you just think of the pockets in, supposedly urbanized Stafford and Spotsylvania.
Yes.
But there still are. You don't have to go too far.
Correct.
To be in areas. I would think that there's probably areas out on from our studios here in Stafford to King George along Route 3 that
right.
That's correct. That it's a challenge.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yes.
You would think that they would want to make it as easy as they can.
Yeah.
So you would think. King George Supervisor Ruby Bribo here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. One of the things, and all localities deal with road funding has just become such a challenge.
Yes.
Such a challenge, especially with localities now doing a lot on their own. One of the things that localities have often been able to take advantage of is revenue sharing.
Yes.
And I know you want to see King George involved with that even more.
Yes, absolutely. So when I first joined the Board of Supervisors in 2012, for whatever reason, my colleagues at that time were not amenable to applying for revenue sharing to address the paving of our dirt roads. You know, as I learned more about the revenue sharing program and I looked at Westmoreland County, who participates every single year, they plan for this, and they were paving more dirt roads than we were. If you simply rely on the funding that is allocated to you, it could take 20 years before you have enough money built up to be able to pave a dirt road in your county. And when you look at how long it was taking King George County to work down the list, so once again, I attribute so much to my new colleagues that I have on the Board of Supervisors. So for the first time ever, we finally applied for revenue sharing to address the paving of our dirt roads, and we were approved. And so we're going to be able to knock off another road from our list, and Dixon Lane off of Owens Drive is going to finally get paved.
Those kind of things in the people who live on dirt roads, when they get paved, I mean, it's life-altering.
Oh, and not only that, it makes it so much easier for the school buses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a snowplow can only do so much on a dirt road. And a lot of times school has longer snow days because of the dirt roads and the inability for the school buses to access the children there. And so the more of those dirt roads that we can get paved will actually hopefully equate into less snow days.
You just take it for granted, but I mean, I know that I've heard stories of people who live on some of these dirt roads that, you know, have waited 50 and 60 years for their road to get paved.
Yes.
And so and there just are so many roads out there. I mean, you deal with those roads, and then there's the obligation for the main roads.
Yes.
And it's a challenge.
It sure is. So hopefully going forward, we'll be able to increase that pot so that as we participate in revenue sharing and we receive the match from the state, we will be able to continue to check off the roads on that list rather than waiting 10 years before we can pave a single road.
I didn't realize that King George didn't do it, because I know Spotsylvania has especially benefited from that and spends a lot of time at certain meetings dealing with that kind of thing. I'm sure it was a surprise to you to look at it, and especially if you're looking at Westmoreland and thinking, how are they doing that and we're not?
Exactly, yes. And like I said, here they are. They're knocking their list of roads, you know, off faster than us because they're literally paving something every year. It just didn't make sense that we hadn't paved a road in 10 years and it didn't look like we were going to pave anything anytime soon. That pot of money that you receive is just so minimal. It's just not realistic to just sit around and wait. You need to take advantage of the different grant programs that are out there.
Well, and I guess that's another, you know, we talk about you getting around and in meeting with people. You see some of these things.
Yes.
And you see some of these things and you're able to take them back and say, why don't we do this? And I'm sure there are some things when you find out, you say, oh, that makes sense. But something like this, though, you look at and you just say, hey.
Yep.
We could do something.
That's right. Correct.
King George Supervisor Ruby Bravo here this morning. We will wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
King George At-Large Supervisor Ruby Bravo here this morning on the program as we talk King George. Okay, Ruby, I've held off long enough. I sat in traffic the other night on Dahlgren Road forever. It added an hour to my trip back. What's going on Dahlgren Road?
Oh, well, you along with everyone else has voiced their frustration lately as VDOT is doing their routine paving of Dahlgren Road that they do every year. Unfortunately, in past years, they have done it overnight, but for whatever reason, they're not doing it overnight this year.
Boy, you see what that involves, because this was rush hour.
Yes.
And I was in a long, long, long line.
Yes. When you think about the fact that we have over 5,000 in commuters to come to work at the Dahlgren Naval Base, and VDOT is out there paving at peak commuter time when they're leaving the base on the main road that is the commuting road through the county. So, yeah, so we've had a lot of feedback from citizens who are extremely frustrated by this. We have contacted VDOT. Not really sure how this has occurred, but VDOT failed to put in the restriction in the contract so that the paving would be done overnight. And VDOT has refused to put in a change order because that will cost them more money and throw off their paving schedule. So unfortunately, the citizens have to just continue to suffer. But my question is, why isn't it automatic? For a primary road such as Dahlgren Road, why isn't it automatically in the contract that the paving be done overnight? It shouldn't be something that has to be written in. When you know you are paving that road every single year, that contract should automatically have written in there that it will be done overnight. So I think there's definitely going to be more conversations with VDOT going forward.
Yeah, wow. Well, I sat in it, and the long line ahead of me and behind me.
Yes.
And those are just, as we talk about the life of a supervisor, those are just some of the things, because, you know, you always laugh about, well, elected officials, you hear about barking dogs and things like that. But those, big and small, those are things that I know you take seriously.
Yes, we do. We definitely do. And, we try to find solutions. We can't always find a solution, but we definitely try to. We can't sometimes fix the problem in the moment, like this situation, but hopefully going forward we can ensure it never happens again.
For people that want to that want to follow you and follow some of this information, you are out there on social media and providing lots of good information.
So if you want to follow me on social media, you can look me up on Facebook, Ruby Brabo at Large Supervisor. You can follow me on Twitter, Ruby Brabo. You can find me on Instagram, KG Supervisor. You can find my phone number and my email address on the county website.
As we have talked this morning, there are just lots of issues around King George. I mean, the one I see or we hear, and we've heard less about the whole water, the water authority, and
yes.
I mean we could do a whole show on that.
Yes,
and
we
have talked about things like that, but I know there've been a lot of improvements.
Yes, I should come back sometime with the chairman and the general manager, and we can definitely have a good conversation. But yes, we have cash funded all improvements over the last 4 years. We have ensured that we have not incurred any new debt to burden the customers. But unfortunately, the decommissioning of Perkins wastewater treatment plant is inevitable, not only because it's antiquated and we're having difficulties meeting the permit limits, but if we want to have any type of economic growth in the courthouse area, which is our downtown area of mm-hmm. King George, so to speak, we have to upgrade by putting in a new wastewater treatment plant. So we will be having a joint meeting of the supervisors and the Service Authority Board of Directors about how do we do that going forward. One of the pieces of information I brought back from a recent conference was the fact the General Assembly just passed new legislation that provides for a grant that you can apply for up to $10 million for the decommissioning of a wastewater treatment plant. What great timing.
Yeah. Town hall meeting for you tonight?
Yes, 7 p.m. University of Mary Washington, Dahlgren campus. Please come out, bring your questions, and engage in the conversation.
Well, it's a great opportunity to get questions answered and hear about things and learn about things.
Yes.
Ruby, thanks for what you do. For as far as a local representative, you do great things.
Thank you.
I wish I lived in King George so you could represent me.
Well, thank you.
Ruby Brabo, the at-large supervisor in King George
thanks
County.
For listening.
See you soon,
to
Ruby.
Town
thanks.
Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.